Va'era Rosh Chodesh. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Va'era, also in slang Va'era. But I discovered this week that there are 16 occurrences in Tanakh with the word Va'era, and only once Va'era. And it's accented on the last syllable, so I really should get into the habit of saying Va'era. But I have this long-standing policy, self-made, which I guess other people follow. And that's when I talk English, I tend to Englishize a lot of the Hebrew words that I use. So the proper pronunciation of the name of the parsha, Va'era, as it says, Va'era. El Avraham, El Yitzchak, Ve'El Yaakov, v'chulei v'chulei, etc., etc. Be that as it may, this Shabbat we read Parshat Va'era, and it is also Rosh Chodesh Shavat. We shall talk about both. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 28th day of Tevet, 5770, January 14th in the secular calendar. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shima V'Koli, Tehiena Aznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmorya Adonai Mia Amod, Ki Imacha Hasilicha L'Ma'an Tivare. Kiviti Adonai Kiveta Nafshi, V'Lidvaro Hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha-makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'meafela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. I found a lovely album today. It's probably the second time I bought the same album a while ago, but it was good because it got me to pay more attention to it. It's an album by Dov Hendler. The name of the album is Ra'ava de Ra'avin. It contains a few songs, in other words, single song tracks, and four medleys. I would like to take a couple of the songs from the different medleys and play them. The first one being the words to the long-standing Torah Tidbits audio theme song. I'm not referring to the Animaniacs theme that opened the show, but to the melody of Eitz Chaim Hi, which fades and allows my opening words to go over it. These are the words to that song. It's a beautiful description of what Torah means or should mean to the Jew. Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim ba, it is an eternal tree, a tree of life for those who hold it, who grab onto it. And this melody, interesting. This melody has always captivated me since I heard it. It's one of my top 10 favorites. And here is a version with the words.
Chaim hi lamachazikim ba v'tomcheha mehusha derachecha dacheinu am v'chol netivoteha Shalom Derachecha Nacheinu Am Bechol Netivoteha Shalom.
Okay, let's settle down in Torah, specifically the book of Shemot. More specifically, Parshat HaShavua, Parshat Vo'era. Now, last week I spoke about the major position of living in Israel from the Torah's perspective for the Jewish people. I want to continue that theme and present it with its partner concepts as expressed by the prophecy of God to Moshe at the beginning of the Sedra, but let's get there in a little step or two. The first verse in this week's reading is very interesting, and I'll show you why. Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe. Vaydaber, and God spoke, is a harsh, strong term. Elohim is the name of God that is also the strict judge and not the mode of rachamim, mercy, kindness. So Elohim spoke to Moshe. Vayomer elav, vayomer means and he said to him. Vayomer is the softer version of speaking. And what did he say to him? Ani Hashem. I am the four-letter name, Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey, with the connotation of the God of mercy. So you have the two contrasting words for talking, Vaydaber and Vayomer. You have two contrasting major names of God, Elohim and Ado. I don't even want to say it. The name that we usually call Hashem when we're just talking about it. And the commentaries explain that God's first approach to Moshe here was tough, harsh words, because the very, very end of the book of the Parsha of Shemot last week, Moshe Rabbeinu expressed criticism in saying, "What did you even send me to Paro for? Why have you done evil to this people?" Moshe says to God, "Why have you sent me? From the time I came to Paro to speak in your name, he did evil to this people, but you did not rescue your people." Now, criticism of God is a tough situation any time, Here, you might think it was justified because that's exactly what happened. Except that it's not justified to criticize because God told Moshe right up front, I'm going to send you to Paro. You're going to demand that the people be released. And he's not going to listen to you. And don't worry, it's part of the plan. It happened. The people got very upset that their workload was increased, understandably so, on their part. And as a result, in the beginning of this week's Sedra, they didn't even listen to Moshe when he gave them a very, very important prophecy, which we will talk about shortly. So God was going to chastise Moshe, you could say, in the opening words this week of Vaydaber Elohim El Moshe. But he realized that Moshe Rabbeinu's motive, I say this in anthropomorphic way, kivyochol, God realized, so to speak, that Moshe's intention was to help the people, and that the way things had begun to unfold was not very helpful. So he softened. Vayomer Elav, he says to him, don't worry, Ani Hashem. And then he expounds upon that. Vo'era, God says, I appear to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with different names and different modes. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. But I did not really make known to them the meaning of the major name of God, the Yud-He, Vav, and He. And then God continues, I am also going to uphold my covenant to give them the land of Canaan, the land where their ancestors lived, and I also have heard the cries of the people in Egypt, and I remember my covenant on that score. Lachain, here's the part that I want to emphasize now. Lachain emor livnei Yisrael. Therefore you, Moshe, prophet, chief among prophets, go to the people and tell them, in my name, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem, the God of mercy, and I am going to manifest that in the process of the Exodus, the plagues on Egypt, the redemption and the removal of the people from that land. Lachein emor livnei Yisrael ani Hashem. And this is what I'm going to do. V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. I shall redeem you. I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. V'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam. And I shall rescue you from their service, servitude. V'ga'alti etchem, and I will redeem you, bizroa netuya uvishvatim gedolim, with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. First verse of these words that God instructs Moshe to tell the people, three levels of being taken out of Egypt, v'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti. Various commentaries explain the connotations, but we're talking about physically removing them from Egypt. We're talking about mentally and psychologically taking them out from their slavery in Egypt and from the culture of Egypt and from the influence of Egypt and from the feelings towards Paro and the Egyptians. Different terminologies and expressions of redemption, v'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti. Next verse, next phase of God's plan. V'lokachti etchem li la'am, I shall take you unto me as a nation, v'hoyiti lochem le'lokim, and I will be for you, God says to Moshe to say to the people, Lelokim, I will be your God. It's a mutual thing. You will be my nation, I will be your God. And the combination should lead to the third term in that verse, Vidatem, and you will know, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, that I am the one who is taking you out of Egypt. Paro might think he let you go. The perception might be that either Pharaoh released the people, or emancipated the people, or kicked them out. None of that is accurate. It is God who took us out of Egypt to the point where the first words from God that the people heard directly, first commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That knowledge is a constant reminder for us of our relationship with God, where we started as a nation, and it is crucial to understanding the whole way that Jewish life and Jewish history works. So it's a combination of things which is usually subsumed into one expression, V'lokachti, and I shall take, but it is more than that. It's God says, I will take you to me as a nation, I will become your God, and you will know that it is I who took you out of Egypt and gave you the Torah. This second verse, if the first verse of this prophecy is about Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus, then this is about Ma'amad Har Sinai, the Sinai experience, standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, receiving the Torah, hearing the voice of God, receiving His commandments. It's rolled into one term and one expression of redemption, but its components can be seen in the verse itself, V'lokachti, V'hayiti, and V'datem, you shall know. The next pasuk, the third and final pasuk of this prophecy, is the next stage. You come out of Egypt, you receive the Torah, you make a mutual binding arrangement with God. You, we, the Jewish people, are His nation. He is our God. And we know that it is He who took us out of Egypt. And then comes, V'heveti etchem el ha'aretz, I will bring you to the land, asher nasati et yadi, that I raised my hand in oath, so to speak, latet ota la'avraham liyitzchak ulya'akov, that I swore to give to Avraham, Isaac, and Jacob, v'natati ota lachem morasha, ani Hashem, and I will give it to you as a heritage. This is also considered to be the fifth term of redemption, that God will bring us to the land of Israel. But it has, as we see in this verse, two components. He is bringing us to the land that He promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to give to them and their descendants. V'natati ota lachem, and I am giving it to you. So it's a complex plan, which includes being taken out of Egypt, being given the Torah, and being brought into Eretz Yisrael. That was God's plan. That's always been His plan. That still is His plan. And here's where I get a little fahitzt, as the Yiddish expression is, a little hot under the collar. I get very animated when this subject comes up. We, the Jewish people, messed things up by having a 40-year delay based on the sin of the spies, till we got into Eretz Yisrael by turning our backs on God and being exiled from there hundreds of years later, by not returning when we had the ability and permission to do so in great numbers, and that doomed in advance the second Beit HaMikdash. And even though it was several hundred years standing, it was not without its problems, to say the least. And we were exiled, and that exile has been a very long exile, and we are now in the process, as we have been for the last 150 years, of coming back to the land of Israel, but we're still not here yet, just like we're still not a nation all of whose members cling to the Torah. This is the plan, and this is what we have to work on. We will be right back. We have it within our ability to teach Torah to our fellow Jews, to spread Torah and love of Torah and values of Torah and learning of Torah and practice of Torah and mitzvot to our fellow Jews. We have to increase the quality of our own observance of mitzvot, of our own hold on Torah, and we have to spread this to our fellow Jews. Okay, let me take you a little bit behind the scenes here. The way that I do this show, Torah Tidbits Audio, is on Thursday afternoon of the date that I announce as the recording and first broadcast. I record piece by piece into a recorder. I upload it to my computer. I edit and then put the pieces together with songs and produce 2 23-minute halves. This is not a requirement of OU Radio, but it is a requirement of Israel National Radio, Arut Sheva, since they put it into a stream and they have a certain format with news and with commercials and announcements, and it needs to be in 23-minute segments. So I record, and sometimes it happens, like it did now, I go fairly over the mark. If I'm over anywhere from a couple of seconds to as many as 20 seconds, then I will go back and edit out pauses that are small enough not to be noticed by taking them out, and make up the time that way and end up with the 23 minutes. Now, it was too much over, not all that much, but still too much over to do. I don't want to cut any of the song because the song was short, and to pull out those little spaces would take a long time to make up all the time. So, with this, these words, I am interrupting the recording. I'll try to find a point to interrupt it. Then, all of what you hear now, and then at the beginning, or towards the beginning of the next segment, it will have the rest of the recording of that piece on Vo'era, and then we'll continue on other things by the magic of recording and editing. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Vo'era, which is also Rosh Chodesh Shvat. As I mentioned right before the break, I had to chop off a piece of that was continuous with what you heard before. Here it is now, after which we will take a musical interlude to transit to the Rosh Chodesh topic. This from a disc by Yitzchak Miller of Shlomo Karlbach Nigunim for Hallel, specifically the passage that begins with Mo Oshiv Lashem. First, the rest of the comment on Vo'era. And we have to come to live in Israel. We have to encourage others to come to live in Israel, but not in a hollow kind of existence here, in the most solid existence based on Torah. I am talking about Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, the land of Israel, to the people of Israel, Al Pi Torat Yisrael. As it has been said by great individuals, Eretz Yisrael B'li Torah, the land of Israel without Torah He kaguf b'li neshama, is like a body without a soul. I am not, in one sweep of the hand, dismissing the value of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, even if they are not Torah observant. Nor am I dismissing the practice of Torah Judaism by Jews who don't live in the land of Israel. I am saying that each of those people I just described are missing something very significant in their total picture of Jewish life. Eretz Yisrael needs a population of Jews who observe Torah. And Jews who observe Torah need to be in Eretz Yisrael. All Jews need to be in Eretz Yisrael. All Jews need to study Torah, to do the mitzvot, and to become Torah people. It's a package deal. We have had a long history of the Eretz Yisrael component being missing from our active lives and relegated to a picture on the wall and to a song at the Pesach Seder and to pining away and crying about it and breaking a glass at a wedding and leaving a square block of cement unplastered and unpainted in our homes. All of that is an expression of the absence of Eretz Yisrael in Jewish life. But then there came our time when coming to live in Israel becomes easier and easier, more attractive. The more people that come, the more it attracts, the more attractive it is for other people to come. But I'm not quite digressing, but I'm getting off the immediate focus on Parshat Vaera. I'll say it again. God presents to the people through Moshe Rabbeinu and to all of us in the Torah, in Parshat Vaera, the three-pronged plan. Come out of Egypt, be taken out of Egypt, be given the Torah, and the commitment, mutual commitment between God and the people, and be brought to live in the land of Israel by that Torah, and live happily ever after. Now we're ready to listen to Yitzchak Miller with Ma'ashiv. To be specific, Ma'ashiv Lashem is the beginning of Tehillim 116, Psalm 116, which is part of Hallel. How can I repay God for all His goodness to me? I will lift my cup of salvation and call on the name of God. I will fulfill my vows to God in the presence of all His people. Grievous in the God's sight is the death of His devoted ones. Truly, God, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You set me free from my chains. Thank you. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Rosh Chodesh, specifically when it coincides with Shabbat. Because we're dealing with something that is not just two special days that happen to overlap. Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh are very compatible with each other in combining to make a powerful message. Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh each belong to a lesson in sanctifying time. I've spoken about this in the past. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And from the wording of the presentation in the Torah, both in Bereshit, as well as in Yitro and the Aseret HaDibrot and elsewhere, we get the sense that God was saying to us, I, God, created everything and created a sanctification within a mundane universe, and that's called Shabbat. 6 days of the work week are mundane. They are chol. Chol in Hebrew refers to the weekdays. It refers also to the profane, the secular, the mundane. Shabbat Kodesh is a manifestation, maybe the manifestation, of God's sanctifying of time and then commanding us through the Torah to sanctify the Shabbat, to keep the Shabbat, to observe its commandments, to avoid its prohibitions, all geared towards the goal of appreciating and understanding and realizing that Kedusha, that sanctity. And then God went one step further. He said to us, tell you what I'm going to do now. I have demonstrated that I, the Creator, capital C, can take the mundane and make it sacred. But you can also. God invested in us the ability to copy Him and sanctify our time. The prime way we do that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah, not in this week's Torah reading, but next week, of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. That, the month that we came out of Egypt, shall become the first of our months, is not just giving us a way that we count our months, but it was challenging us to the task of sanctification of time. Shabbat, God took care of. Rosh Chodesh, we do. Now, when we have a Sanhedrin, we do it in a very proactive way. Without a Sanhedrin, unfortunately for a long period of time now, we still have the concept of sanctification of Rosh Chodesh, but not in the proactive way it was in the time of Sanhedrin, and will be in the time of Sanhedrin. Without getting into all of those details, the Sanhedrin has the power, and they exercised it not only when they existed, but in formulating the method of our computation of the Jewish calendar without a Sanhedrin, gave the sanctification to all Rosh Chodesh dates that come out according to their calculation. So this Shabbat is not only Shabbat, it is Rosh Chodesh Shabbat. It is a date that is sanctified by an old Sanhedrin of Hillel the Elder, by our calculation that arrived at this Shabbat being a Rosh Chodesh. And especially in the time of Sanhedrin, you can see what it means for us to do it, because without the act of Sanhedrin sanctifying a day as Rosh Chodesh, it isn't holy. And without a holy day of Rosh Chodesh, no Chagim, no festivals, holidays that fall out during the month have sanctity either. If, God forbid, the first day of Nisan were not sanctified as Rosh Chodesh, then the 15th of the month would be a regular day, would not be Yom Tov, there would be no prohibition of chametz, there would be no mitzvah to eat matzah and have a seder, because all of the chagim follow the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim means create the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish calendar is a manifestation, maybe the manifestation, of our ability, our God-given ability and authority to sanctify time. So when you have Shabbat, manifestation of God's sanctification of time, and Rosh Chodesh, manifestation of God's instruction to us to sanctify time, you are dealing with a very compatible combination known as Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. And when we take out a second Torah this Shabbat, and in the first Torah we read the weekly portion of Va'era, and in the second Torah we read about Rosh Chodesh, it's not just about Rosh Chodesh that we read. We read the two-verse portion of Shabbat, followed by the five verses of Rosh Chodesh, specifically what Korbanot Musaf were brought on Shabbat and on Rosh Chodesh. And the Haftorah, which is the last chapter of Yeshayahu, Isaiah, has a verse which is really the reason that our sages chose this for the Haftarah of Rosh Chodesh, which preempts the regularly scheduled weekly Haftorah. And here's the last verse. Actually, it's the next to the last verse, which we then repeat when we finish to end on that note. V'haya midei chodesh b'chodesho umidei shabbos b'shabbato yavo chol basor lehishtachavos lefonai omar Adonai. And it shall come to pass that every new moon and every Shabbat shall all people come to worship before me, says God. So there you have in a single verse the concept of Shabbat and the concept of Rosh Chodesh. Practically speaking, we have the addition of Ya'aleh V'Yavo in the Amidah of Arvit, Shacharit, and Mincha, this Shabbat. We have the addition of Ya'aleh V'Yavo in Birkat HaMazon. We have the saying of Hallel after Shacharit before Torah reading on Shabbat morning, Rosh Chodesh morning. And we have a different middle bracha in the Musaf Amidah that reflects its being both Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. People have a custom of having a special meal on Rosh Chodesh when it's during the week. When it falls on Shabbat, there is a minority view that we should add a meal and have a fourth meal on Shabbat. In the winter time, that's extra difficult to do. The majority opinion is that one should have a special component to one of the meals, be it a fancy dessert or an unusual side dish or whatever strikes your fancy. You should add to your Shabbat meal and menu one thing in honor of Rosh Chodesh. Now, all of the above was said in context of Rosh Chodesh in general. Rosh Chodesh Shivat has its own special quality, which I think many people miss, because it's not a direct kind of thing. We know that during Shvat, 2 weeks later, is Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, which is known as Rosh Hashanah La'ilanot, the New Year Day for trees. And Amir Tzashem, in 2 weeks' time, will talk about Tu B'Shvat. The Mishnah that discusses the four Rosh Hashanahs we have in the year brings a dispute. It was Beit Hillel's opinion that the new year for trees be the 15th of Shvat. It was Beit Shammai's opinion that it be the 1st of Shvat. So even though we don't follow that opinion, this Shabbat, the first day of the month of Shvat, is Shammai's candidate for Rosh Hashanah La'ilanot. More significantly, I believe, is another claim for Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The Torah, in the very beginning of the book of Devarim, tells us that it was in the 40th year of wandering, where we now were encamped on the east side of the Jordan River, in a place called Arvot Moav, preparing to go across the Jordan into Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. On the first day of the 11th month, which would make it Rosh Chodesh Shvat, 37 days till Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, the last 37 days of his life he spends teaching and reviewing Torah to the people. It began on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So even though we look to Shavuot as Zman Matan Toratenu, that we look to Shavuot the 6th and or the 7th of Sivan as the anniversary of the receiving of Torah at Sinai, and we look to Yom Kippur as also a day of receiving the Torah, since we received the second set of tablets which replaced the ones that Moshe had broken because of the golden calf. So both Shavuot and Yom Kippur, in their different ways, are dates of Matan Torah. So is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the day that Moshe began his final review before his passing, and it is a day that we should undertake more Torah learning than usual in order to commemorate this final lecture series, if you want to call it that, of the greatest teacher of Torah in our history. With just a little time remaining for this week's show, let me go back to Parshat Va'era and mention, for those who are not familiar with it, that the accounts of the Exodus begin in this week's reading with the first 7 of the 10 plagues on Egypt. We have a sort of a cliffhanger at the end of the plague of hail before we continue with the final 3 Makot plagues next week, and the first Pesach night and the leaving of Egypt, and it continues beyond next week into B'Shalach as well. But here's where it starts. It really started a little bit last week with the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu and with his vision at the burning bush and his being sent by God to Egypt to get the people out. But here's where we start seeing Tachlis. The labors stop. We are still stuck in the land for about a half a year. The plagues unfold. These are not just punishments for Egypt. These are messages and miracles performed on our behalf. On that note, let me wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtameah.